normally have this monitor up here only for the video, for those who are watching online, and we want to provide for them, but it's not going to work today. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, the many facets of his character, because he is, based on Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So if you want to know about God the invisible, look at Jesus. Get to know Jesus, and you will get to know the Father and the Spirit. So seven times in the book of John, Jesus declares himself to be things that we can understand, tangible things, ideas, visual things that we can understand to help us understand who he is and the many facets of who he is. And today I want to look at the sixth time Jesus said, I am, and then he said something. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. And we're going to look at that. And that's a common, well-known phrase. How many have heard that phrase before? I'm the way, the truth, the life. I think even before I got saved, I had heard that phrase. I think a lot of people have heard that. But we're going to look at that. And I need the help of the children in the room. If you are under, say, 16, all the way down, I'm going to be reading a large passage of Scripture, and I want you to count how many times either the word Father shows up or he's referred to as him or he, specifically to the Father. And I'm going to read this passage in this context of I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I want to look at how many times Jesus mentions something about his Father. And then we will, I'll ask you later in the message to tell me what you came up with. So we're going to look at John 14. And we're going to read the whole chapter. One chapter. We're going to read the whole chapter of John 14. So here we go. And get some paper, kids, and make notches. Like one, just two, three, four, five. There's a lot of them. I'll give you a clue. There's a lot of them. So chapter 14, John, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. That's the Father. Who? Him. And have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work, his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Amen. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus declaring all things about you. Lord, we just pray you'd bless this time, bless our eyes and our hearts to see and hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. In your great love, just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So don't tell me how many you got, but I will ask later. So I just want to look at the obvious points. Number one, Jesus is the way. He is the way. He didn't say, I am a way to be saved. If you're of the American or Western-minded thinking persuasion, if you were born in a certain country, then I am a way. Certain culture, certain place, certain season, certain generation. The reason the world hates Jesus is because he's very narrow, very offensive in his declarations, very exclusive. He was not all-inclusive. He said, I am the way. Meaning, there is no other way. The road that leads to life is narrow. The road that leads to destruction is wide. And the scripture says, many will go that way, but few will find the narrow road. And that's a sobering thing that we need to have in our hearts and minds, that we're on a course, a path that is not easy to walk. And is not popular, and actually is offensive to the rest. But Jesus unapologetically stated it boldly, and the scripture is loaded with it. There's in the opposite way, Proverbs 14:12 says, There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There's many ways that seem right, seem like a good thing, seems like a good way to go, seems honorable and even courageous, but unfortunately there's a lot of people, even within the church, that believe Jesus is only a way, and that there are several ways. And there's studies, I just recently saw another one where a 60% of church-going people of those surveyed who regularly attend church believe that Jesus, it's a new age spirituality has come into the church, and they believe Jesus is just one of many options. It's all different names of the same God, and the devil loves that deception and tries to cash in on that all the time, but that's a lie, and there is only one way. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. That's difficult news, but that's great news that Jesus is the way. He is the life giver. He is the forgiver. He is the way. And all these other paths or religions or forms of goodness, they're false. And they're meant to deceive us. They're just there to get us off track, off that narrow path. But it's impossible to conclude in any other way that what Jesus is saying and how he says it over and over and over, other than he is the only way. There's one God, one mediator between God and mankind, Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in no other name, because there is no other name under heaven. And how much of the earth is under heaven?
All of it.
How many of the world religions are under heaven? All of them. How many prophets have come under heaven? All of them. Every one of them under heaven. There's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's great news that we know the way. And it says there's a way that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. My wife just showed me an article about a woman, a 40-something lawyer, and I won't get into all the details because it's a profound story, but she's a lawyer with kids, takes kids to the park, takes kids to the, you know, museums, and does all the things that you would think a healthy family would do. And when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, she fell into this depression, thinking that the world is going to end as we know it because this president will get a pro-life justice in there, and the reproductive rights will be denied for the nation. And she was so disturbed by that because she thinks reproductive rights should be a right. We call it murder. We call it the choosing to end the life of a unborn baby. But she has a perspective that it was so disturbing that she joined the satanic church because of their tenets of behavior that seem right, seem like things you could even find scripture verses like them, about honoring one another, about having integrity, about encouraging one another, things like that, in the satanic church tenets. So she became a Satanist to help rescue this nation from what she sees as a terrible direction. And that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And this is a soccer mom, you know. She's a lawyer. We have a battle, and the devil is very good at convincing people that goodness is what's important. That being good and helping others and being nice and encouraging and being honest is somehow divine and heavenly and righteous in your own sense. And there is no way. There is no way that we could be good enough. And Christianity is not a try harder, do better, be good so that I'm good. I'm a better person now that I know Jesus. That's not the goal. We know that we all fall short. The reality of Christianity is Jesus being the way is that he took our punishment on himself, took our badness, took our failures, took the punishment for our sin that we deserved eternal damnation. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to live a sinless life and to die in our place as a substitute. And our faith in that alone is what saves us and makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then we try to, you know, live a righteous life, but our goodness and our salvation is based on what Jesus did. not anything that I could do. Jesus is the way, and there is no other name, no other way. The early church faith was called the way. The beginning season of Christianity was called the way. And every other path, every other way, every other faith leads to death. And we might want to try to manipulate our way in different ways. Like, you know, when I was a kid, my buddy and I, we lived just a couple houses away from each other, and we'd manipulate our parents so we could sleep over. And we'd have a plan. We'd say, all right, we're at my house. We're going to tell my mom that your mom said it's okay if I sleep over at your house before we asked your mom. And so we'd get my mom to say, oh, okay, well, that's, if it's okay with her, sure. And then we got, yes, we got half the battle done. Now we go to his house and we ask her mom, and we don't ask her mom. We say, Steve's mom said it was okay if he sleeps over. And of course, she'd say, well, if that's okay, yeah, that's all right. And we'd be like, yes. And it was a lie, and it was deception. And kids, if you're thinking of trying it, forget it. Your parents already know about that. And if they didn't know about it a few minutes ago, they know about it now. So find out the truth. But we are good at manipulating our way around things and saying, oh, I'm righteous. I go to church. I'm righteous. My uncle is a pastor. I've heard that many times. Yeah. So do you know Jesus? Yeah. My cousin is a deacon. What does that have to do with you? Do you know? I didn't ask about your cousin. That's about you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins are forgiven? Do you know what is it about Jesus? Well, yeah, my grandpa went to church, so sure. I'm a good person. It's like, what about Jesus? Well, I'm a good person. It's like, no. It's about Jesus. But we can manipulate in that it's we think naturally about manipulating people to our own end. And even we say for us adults, like, you get from here to Northfield. Well, you could go up Highway 3 through Dundas, or you can go through Cannon City, the back road into Dundas, or you go to Kenyon and find a way around. You go to Nurse Strand and come around to Northfield around there. And we think, oh, there's many ways you could get from here to there. There's Buddha, there's Muhammad, there's, you know, Hindu, whatever, Krishna. It's like, no, we don't. It doesn't work in natural terms. Because God is spirit and needs to be worshipped in spirit and truth. And the way to the Father is not accomplished by what we can accomplish. Because we can't undo our sin. Sin has to be paid for. Sin created a spiritual need that our natural efforts could never fulfill. So Jesus made a way. And that's great news. That's the gospel. Animals had to die to pay for sin in the Old Testament. Jesus had to die to pay for sin once and for all. Faith in his blood shed for us is righteousness in Christ. And that's what saves us. Nothing we do except accept it, receive it, believe it, and then live like we mean it. Otherwise, there is no other man-made goodness or religion. There's no going around through a different world religion or goodness effort of going to church or giving money or helping the weak or anything else. It's all one way through Jesus. So the second, Jesus is the truth. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Everything he said, everything he did, everything he does, everything he says is 100% truth. And we may not understand it. We may think, well, that there's certain things that make no sense. But it's impossible for God to lie. And why is this so important? John 8, 31, 32, Jesus is speaking to the Jews who believe, believing Jews, and he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth sets us free in really, there's a couple of factors. One, by knowing it. Another is by doing it.
Yeah.
And really, there's a third factor, because Jesus isn't just truthful. He is truth. It's his being his disciple. You know, being led by him to know what truth you are knowing and what truth you are doing.
Yeah.
So it has to be a three-strand connection there. Then you are really my disciples if you know the truth and put it into practice, and specifically in connection to Jesus. You can't just say, oh, it's not good to steal, so I won't steal, and I'm going to go my merry way, and I'm not stealing, so I'm good with God. Or I'm not going to lie, so I'm good with God. Well, it's not just that God doesn't just want us to be better and do good and be nice without him. It's about relationship.
Yeah.
The gospel is with Jesus,
yeah,
as his disciple, daily, all the time. He says, I am the truth. So, again, being truly free is being connected to God and not just having good rules to live by. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Being good equals you are good is secular humanism. That's just humanistic. It's like saying, well, it's all up to you, and you are a good person because you're not like that person.
Yeah.
And that person's a bad person. I'm not like that person, so unfortunately that person is not the standard of righteousness. Jesus is the standard of righteousness.
Yeah.
And so according to that standard, we all fail. And we all need something better than us not stealing or lying or going to church and giving money or helping the poor. If you love me, you'll obey me. And the Father will give you the Spirit of truth to live inside of you. He won't leave you as orphans. What's an orphan? Simple definition. Fatherless, motherless, a person without parents. He says, I will not leave you like that. Being truly free is being truly connected,
yeah,
to God.
Yeah.
And not just being good by rules and having a nice standard of rules to live by. Wouldn't it be nice if every time a lie or some twisted information through TV or the radio or movies or whatever came along, we got an automatic scam likely notice appeared. Wouldn't it be nice if you're going along? And I just love that symbol when that comes. When some college professor, you're sitting in a college course, and the college professor is about to tell you some lame thing about evolution or some, you know, societal lie, and all of a sudden, bam, scam likely comes on the screen. And so you can decline or accept, or there's some sports star, some Hollywood, you know, scene, something happens where all of a sudden it's about to go, and you start being fed something, all of a sudden, bam, scam likely, whoop, 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 warning, warning. I love when that symbol comes up on my phone.
Yeah.
There's something really satisfying to just decline. Because I've done that a few times where I took it. It's like, what could it be? It's like, well, okay, I should have declined. So now I've learned to just decline it. It's usually a good reason why that came up. But it'd be really nice if you know, the news media, something, all of a sudden they put a disclaimer, this might be a scam likely. Boom, 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 comes on, national, you know, warning. That'd be really, really great, because the devil's a liar.
Yeah.
That's all he knows how to do. He is a liar, and he frames it in a way that makes it sound likely and good, makes it sound truthful, but he's a liar. And we don't always get that symbol up there. But the devil only knows how to steal, kill, destroy through lies and deceit.
Yeah.
We will know the truth, and we will be set free by the truth of what comes out of the mouth of God. And how do we know God? How will we know that? I tell you, the more you know the Word, the more you read the Bible, the more when scams come along, you don't even need a symbol like that. You just see it. You just know it. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to study it, research it. I just know that's false. It looks really good, sounds really good, and maybe a few years ago I would have kind of bit into that. Yeah. But because I know the Word of God, I know the heart of God, you know, we're all growing in it, we're all understanding and learning. But how do we walk as a disciple of Christ in the way, the truth? We read His Word. We spend time talking to Him. We spend time practicing, listening to His voice. And when we hear something that we may not understand, but it seems like it's an encouraging, hopeful something, message from God, and we walk it out, and we find out that was God. That was God. Or no, that was my stomach, and I shouldn't have ordered that pizza. That wasn't God. I shouldn't have taken that last piece. Or whatever it is, you learn to hear, that was the voice of my Father who loves me, cares about me, versus that was the deceiver who is always going to try to manipulate your life in a bad way. But it's really satisfying to go, decline, boom, and move on. Yes. Don't be ignorant to the schemes of the devil. You need to learn how he works. And the more you know Christ, the more you will see and learn the schemes of the devil when they come along. So, confidence. Knowing the truth of confidence. Number three, Jesus is the life. And rightfully so, we emphasize Jesus is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the gate for the sheep. He's the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life. I mean, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But raise your hand if you have a number of how many times you saw Father. How many did you get? Thirty-five. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a winning number. I want to hear. There's a bunch because there's kind of the he and him and his. Okay. A river. 31. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about 31 verses. In 31 verses, the number of times Jesus is mentioning the Father is that many. Anyone else? Did you get? 33? Yeah. I went through it once. I got 28. So way to go, guys. You know. Because I was trying to be like, okay, let's not stretch it. But easily, like I said, there's a lot of times. So we emphasize Jesus. But what was Jesus emphasizing? His Father. And if you go back to every one of these, almost every one of these I ams, Jesus is talking about the Father. And it is so obvious in this particular one that he's just going on and on. Show us the Father. Thomas, haven't you already seen me? Have I been with you this long? And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. The whole thing about being the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus is the way to the Father. Yeah. He's talking about the context. In my Father's house is what starts this whole thing. Are many rooms. And he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Yeah. And that's the whole beauty and the wonder and the glory of Jesus is he is the way to the Father. Yeah. And the Father loves us. Yeah. The Father loves you. He will not leave you as orphans. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm in my Father. My Father is in me. You'll do greater things than these because I go to the Father. The Father will give you the Spirit of truth. On and on and on. The world must learn that I love the Father. And Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth about the Father. Jesus is the life in the Father. Abram, the man that God started this whole thing that we know as the Judeo-Christian faith, started the whole thing, said, I'm going to bring a blessing to all nations through you. What was he called? The what of our faith? The father of our faith. God starts with a man, Abram. You know what Abram means? Exalted father. You know what Abraham means? Father of many. This whole thing that culminates with Jesus is the way to the Father. It's an awesome, awesome story from beginning to end of God restoring the separation of what was meant to be His sons and daughters to Himself as God Almighty, the Father of all creation. And when we look at Jesus, and we got to wrap our minds around that, because we think, Jesus, He's 30 years old. You know, I'm twice His age. How can He be my Father? And we just get this strange idea. But Jesus is saying, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Age is not the issue. Identity and personhood and in who He is the same as the Father. It's not this Old Testament mean, angry God with the big beard and then this young, good shepherd, young man, Jesus. The same things Jesus is, the Father is. The same stand against sin that Jesus took, the Father takes. The same love and mercy that Jesus has, the Father has. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, quick to forgive. His love is everlasting. Everything Jesus did was to bring glory to the Father. Is it any wonder that fatherhood is under attack and has been in a big way in the last few decades? In a big way. It's always been under attack in every generation, but in a big way. The fatherless generation that's growing up right now. We see the riots. To me, it's my opinion, but riots in these cities are in a large part because of fatherless young men and women that did not nurture and cherish and protect and guide their children. They let them loose. There was no rules, there was no. There was just whatever. And that's a generation that has happened. And I believe God is changing that. And I believe there's always, even in that generation, there is a remnant that loves their children and are men of God. Men who are men. And real men love Jesus. And real men train their children in the way they should go. And they don't just say, I'll let you figure it out. I'll let you figure it out. I'm not going to expose you to religion. You can figure out your own religion because I'm not going to tell you what. It's like, that's horrible. That's a horrible way to raise your kids. That shows no conviction whatsoever. So it's no wonder that fathers are under attack, because it's a picture. The devil hates a healthy home. Hates a healthy home where the father actually is involved with the lives of their children. In nurturing them, protecting them, showing mercy, showing discipline, showing provision, showing care and concern. So we want to keep going that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all of that is so we can be connected to the Father. You have a perfect Father that will not leave you as an orphan. He said, I'll come to you. He cares about you. He will provide for you. He will guide you. He cherishes you. He delights in you. It's so fun to delight as a grandfather in a different way than I delighted in my own kids. But that's how the Father in 1,000% more delights in you as His own. Not even as a grandfather, as a father directly. Directly, you have direct access. And all of that, He delights in you in all this, and through Christ made a way for that to happen forever. Through Christ, He made a way for Him and you to have that kind of relationship forever. So real life is with God the Father. We love Jesus because He made it possible for us to be connected, reconnected to God the Father. Let's just stand up. I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate Jesus, but He celebrates not only us, He celebrates His Father. And the joy that He has is that He is the one that can reconnect us eternally to the Father. And I invite you, if you've never done so, to put your faith in Jesus, because He is the only way, He is the truth, and He is the life. That is possible, that is the way to the Father now and forever. And I believe God is drawing you, whether you're here in this room or online, been drawing you and speaking to you to put your trust in Jesus. And today would be a really great day for you to do that. Today would be a great day for you to say, you know what, I am choosing to believe that Jesus came for me and made a way for me, and that you can know the love and nurture and the care of a Father who is committed to you forever through Jesus. But you have to respond to Him. And we want to help you understand it, so just ask Jesus to receive you and forgive you of your sins. And He'll prove Himself to you. And we want to help you understand more about that. Lord, thank you for being the way to the Father. Thank you that we have a certain way. That we don't have to wonder. We don't have to think, are we good enough? Are we smart enough? Are we pure enough? Lord, thank you that we could never be enough, and you made it clear that you made the way when we, in and of ourselves, had no chance and no hope. Lord, thank you that you are the way to the Father, so that we're done with orphan thinking, that we have to provide for ourselves, that we have to protect ourselves, that we have to promote ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you are all those things. We don't have to try to make something of ourselves, because when your forgiveness comes and your love toward us speaks so much better than how valuable we can make ourselves. Lord, thank you for paying such a high price for us to be connected to you and be forgiven. Lord, help us to reflect you well in these times of trouble and confusion and lies and deceit and challenge all around. God, help us to reflect you and walk in your peace that passes understanding. The peace that you give, not like the world gives, not like circumstances that go well can give. But you give us peace no matter how the circumstances are going. give us joy no matter what. Lord, I do pray that you would fill us afresh, God, with your peace and joy. Our trust is in you. Thank you for taking the initiative to sending your Son to make a way so, Father, we could be connected to you. I pray, Lord, that you would show us how to nurture our relationship with you, how to spend time in your Word and hear your voice. Live for you according to what you determine. Lord, thank you for the great value you put on us and how you call us into what you're doing on the earth. Lord, we pray for your mercy on us and this city, on our state, on this nation, and on the nations of the earth, Lord, as everything is being shaken. But Lord, we know the earth is yours. Everything in it, the world and all who dwell in it, is yours. And you are the sustainer of it all. You said, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And you're not coming back to bring destruction, or you're not coming back to an earth that's all destroyed already. You're coming back for a glorious bride that you have sustained and cared for and nurtured and grown and expanded. And Lord, we want to be used of you to bring as many into your kingdom as possible. Lord, help us to reflect you and to be your ambassadors. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you live in us. Jesus, you said you're in the Father, the Father's in you, and you're in us, and we're in you. Couldn't get any closer. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to reflect you and do your will and expand your kingdom. Thank you for your mercy on us, God. Help us, God, to bring life into people who are confused, who are turning to Satan for answers, who are so deceived they don't know which way is up. God, thank you for delivering us out of darkness, and help us to deliver many more out of that same darkness, because you didn't come to condemn the world but to save it. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name.